Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief. I'm your host, Wendy Mitchell. Thanks for joining us again. It is day 5, episode 5, and it's Monday morning. We've all made it through a very busy weekend. I hope you had good screenings, good meetings, maybe a drink or two if you're into that sort of thing. But this market is far from over, and today we are thrilled to welcome Screen International's deputy editor, Louise Tutte. Louise, thank you so much for joining us again this year.
I'm delighted. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. And I have to give a little plug that I thought Louise's interview with Tricia Tuttle was one of the best I read. Tricia's, as we said, is a great interviewee and really outlined her vision and some of the challenges of this role with Louise. So I recommend people go back and read that on Screen Daily.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah, it was a really good one. And Louise, let's talk about maybe some, as I said, we're not even halfway through, but as we know, you know, the weekend is important. We have a little bit of feeling of some films that have gone down well. What do you think has people have been talking about, like films that buyers might be circling? What are you hearing?
Well, in the first few days, because it's amazing how it is really still quite early on in the festival, two films that I've heard that people like a lot are Michel Franco's competition title, Dreams, the one that I'm sure everybody knows about, starring Jessica Chastain as a wealthy white woman in San Francisco who's in love with a dancer who happens to be an illegal Mexican immigrant. And the film is having a lot to say about power in the West, and it's about timely issues such as immigrations, as well as, you know, the perennial issues of love and sex. And
there is a lot of sex, Louise, let me tell you. I don't know if you have a chance to see it yet. It is out there. And this dancer has been working out, I believe. Yes.
There's a good reason to just make sure it's as good as everybody says it is. but that's one of the competition films. And I know Screen's critics jury grid, it's going down well on that. And there's also a German film called Islands by Jan-Ole Gerster. Apologies if I haven't pronounced that very well. And that's about a tennis coach played by Sam Riley, who's on the Spanish island of Fuerteventura, and he meets a family who changes life, possibly not in a good way. And it's a big German film. It's produced by Alvin Schein. It's distributed by Leonine. And people are liking that very much. In terms of deals, there aren't that many big glitzy packages. I'm sure that it's been, you know, a big talking point with you, Wendy, this week. They're just, the packages that everybody was hoping would come to the EFM from the US just didn't really come in the numbers. Because of the LA wildfires, the LA industry had other things on its mind with good reason. But there are a couple of, apart from the big Lena Dunham, Natalie Portman one, there are some festival films that also I know buyers are really looking into and trying to get a look at. One of them is that Chinese competition title Living the Land, which is a family drama. And interestingly, an Indian drama called Shadow Box in Perspectives, which is Trisha's new section.
For debut features. Yeah.
Which is attracting buyer interest. Interestingly, that doesn't have an international sales agent even. But the thing about the lack of deals over the weekend coming into Monday, very few were confirmed. But, you know, it's a year-round business these days, ever since the pandemic, and people are doing deals all the time on Zoom between the markets. So now everybody's talking about Cannes.
Oh, gosh. I know. I kind of hate this, that after the first weekend of any market, we start talking about the next market. And it's like, can we take a breath? No, we cannot.
No.
No, not allowed.
And from a journalist's point of view, we have front pages to fill. So we're always talking about Cannes or Berlin.
Yes. I just want to mention just a few of the smaller deals that have come through since our last episode. Trust Nordisk has now done more deals on Kraken to Germany, France, and Spain. That's their action thriller. Films Boutique has sold their Sundance title DJ Ahmet to Australia, Benelux, Spain, and more. Emma Peel has sold their Panorama title Night Stage to territories including North America and the UK. And another good sign of a competition film that might be heating up with buyers is Yunnan, which Intramovies is selling, has sold to Italy, German-speaking territories, Turkey, Canada. So a little bit of interest in those festival titles that helps to hear about. I want to also mention another film that I caught, and I know you're I think one Screens Critic is, oh, I hope I'm not going to ruin a surprise, but I think Screens Critic also liked it, is Late Shift by the Swiss director Petra Volpe. I think that's in Panorama. I'm not quite sure of the section, but that seems like a very buyer friendly. It's got Leonine, who was in The Teacher's Lounge. So great cast in that, and she's really good. And that's, I think, quite an audience-pleasing film. It's very fast-paced, set in a hospital.
Well, I think, like, as the other ones you mentioned that have done deals, most of them are genre titles, aren't they? That's what's interesting.
Yeah, this one almost feels like a thriller pace set in a hospital. Yeah, so I think it could hit both. Let's see. Have you been tracking at all these? We haven't talked about them that much on this podcast. These EFM startups. I keep walking past them. They're on the second floor. They each have a little desk on the second floor at the Gropius Bau. Do you know anything about those?
I was really interested in the startup pitch event that took place on Sunday afternoon, which my colleague Tim Dams hosted, and he said it was really fascinating. Their energy is really great and really compelling. And I think it's 11 small companies talking about. I think there was an AI focus this year on AI-enabled tools. And last year, the focus was on AI for production. I think this year it's AI to help with marketing and distribution. And I think that it's interesting that smaller and newer companies are really going to have to embrace AI at a time when everyone's having to do more with less, given the way costs are going up. And we're always being told that we need to be quicker and more efficient. And honestly, that can't be achieved without AI in many cases. And I think when it comes to marketing and distribution, that's where AI could really help, like in the real process side of things. But of course, with a lot of this, it means, I think you'll agree, Wendy, that there will be job losses, which is why it's going to be much easier for smaller startups, you know, in themselves, smaller companies, more nimble companies, rather than the more established companies who, you know, are going to find it hard to both lose people and do things a little differently.
Yeah, I think one of the startups, I think, is called Curate It. And at first I was like, hey, wait a minute, I'm a curator. I don't want the AI doing my job. But I think it's actually a really smart woman who's worked at a lot of festivals in the UK running that. So she's not trying to replace human curation. Maybe she's helping curators do their jobs more efficiently because, yeah, we've only got two hands and one brain. And well, I was, in my case, that brain seems to shrink by the day, thanks to various factors. Any other EFM sessions you're looking forward to, Louise? I know you don't have that much time to get to them, but are there ones you want to try to make it to or promote?
There's one this afternoon, Monday afternoon, that I like the look of because I really enjoy any conversation that's about reaching audiences and especially younger audiences. And there's a good one that is hosted by, I think it's my colleague Scott at The Hollywood Reporter, and it's about how to leverage the festival success of your film onto box office screens. And I think that that's always the bit that the industry is always trying to figure out, how to translate that festival buzz into cold hard cash. And there's some really smart speakers on that session. So that's one that I will try and check out.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah, Scott was mentioning that. And I think you're right. That can kind of be, you can have a festival hit and then what happens to it? You know, some of them kind of disappear. And I think, yeah, especially like you're saying with younger audiences too, that sounds really good. Louise, I think we're going to bid you farewell for this year and say, I want to say thank you for your service. You get locked in that screen office. I used to do that job, news editing the dailies. And, you know, everybody out here at the market really does appreciate these trade journalists who are just working nonstop. You know, there could be 40 or 50 stories a day you're dealing with. And we thank you because we need all this information. So thank you, Louise, for your service.
Well, thanks, Wendy, for everything you do. And we love it. Don't feel too sorry for us. We've got a lot of crisps.
Okay, good. There you go. Thanks, Louise, and good luck with the rest of the stories. And I will say this goes not just for screen, but all the trades is, you know, even when the print issues stop, keep reading those websites because all these deals are going to keep coming in over the next week or two, really.
For sure.
Thank you.
Bye.
So we know the weekends are busy, but don't worry. Monday is super busy again today at the EFM and the festival. The first industry session of the day is at 10 a.m. Eyes on the audience, smart thinking in distribution and exhibition. If you are not sick of the sound of my voice, I will be moderating that. We've got some great independent distributors and exhibitors from across Europe who can talk about, they face a lot of challenges, but how are they surviving and how are they even thriving? What are the lessons they're actually learning from local hits? At 11:30, there is Inventive Ambitions, Financing Nonfiction in 2025. So if you're a documentary person and want to know about new financing trends, that's the one for you. Check out the partner event with Bridging Visions at 1:30. That is called Mapping New Trends and Opportunities in the Asian Film Market. Of course, it's those big territories, Korea, China, Japan, but they'll also talk about the real vibrancy in Indonesia. I'm hearing a lot about Indonesia lately, and also Taiwan becoming more of a player in co-productions. At 5 p.m., there's the session on Marketing That Works, Tools and Tactics to Move the Needle, Cut Through That Noise. Also, this session will cover how to use data more effectively. And the speakers there include Joanna Seleka from Alpha Panda, who is super sharp, such an expert. In the Producers Hub on the second floor of Gropius Bau, there's a workshop at noon with Microsoft called AI in the Film Industry, Perspectives from Startups and Filmmakers. Over at the Series Market at Cinemax, it's a very, very busy day. Lots of series market screenings. One I've got my eye on is the comedy from Norway called Sami Wedding. And if you're starting your day at the series market, there's a great panel at 9:30 this morning called Breaking the Wheel Again, Broadcasters and Streamers Navigating Changes. So much going on out there. And also just a reminder that all badge holders will be able to take advantage of the Berlinale catch-up screenings. These are the films from the official program, some highlights from there for films you might have missed. You've been so busy with all these meetings. Now, if things are calming down that little bit, you might have time to catch some films. That's going to be at Cinemax on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I hope you can see some gems you've missed, maybe even some of those titles Louise was talking about. So thanks again for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again tomorrow morning. And we really appreciate you tuning in. Have a great day out there.